welcome to Wham Bam Pow. I am your host this evening, or this morning, or this afternoon, or 1 a.m., whenever you're listening to it. I forgot it's a podcast and it's not a strict guideline, but I prefer you listen to it at 6 p.m. That's when you should listen to our podcast. Anyways, I'm Rhea Butcher, your host for this evening at 6 p.m. of Wham Bam Pow. We're a movie podcast, sci-fi movies and action movies. We love to talk about them. I'm hosting because your normal host is also right here, Cameron Esposito. How are you doing? I don't have a
you're
side mullet. That's what you are. Side mullet spokeswoman, Cameron Esposito.
No, there's already a spokeswoman.
Side mullet Esposito?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, sure. That's the Afro spokesman, Ricky Garmona.
I've never heard you host before because you've
only
done it when I've been gone.
I usually do a better job.
I didn't realize it was so time-oriented.
Well, no, it's not usually time-oriented, but I'm terrified because the usual host is sitting to my right.
Yeah, that's stressful. It's like when Joe Biden has to give a presentation in front of Barack Obama.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
To Congress or whatever.
Or like why
he's the president of the Senate, but it's like
why Dorothy is always so stressed out because her mom lives there.
Dorothy?
From the Golden Girls. I didn't give any context. I'm sorry.
I thought you meant the Wizard of Oz, and I was like, that's not why she's stressed out.
That was a horrible joke.
That fell on the witch didn't, the house fell on the witch.
Let me just rewind. Dorothy is so stressed out because Sophia, her mother, lives with them.
Patrillo,
yes, as always. So, side mullet herself, Cameron Esposito, how are you doing?
I feel great. You know why that is?
Why is that?
Because it's album release week. Yeah. It's my album release week. Same Sex Symbol is out in the world now. Finally, after...
Hey, who did the graphic design on that
Rhea
thing?
Did the graphic design, and right now I'm watching Ricky hold it, and it looks beautiful in his hands. I'm so excited about it and proud about it, and you can get it on iTunes. That's where you should get it, actually, if people are asking
me.
Buy it on iTunes.
That listens to this podcast, please buy it from iTunes so that we can get on up to that, moving on up to that number one spot. Amen.
I mean, I just feel like I have this dream that I'm going to wake up and I'll just have knocked Louis C.K. out of
there. Yes.
See you later, Mark Maron.
Bye-bye, Jim Gaffigan.
Bye, Jimmy. See you later, Jimmy. You're pale? Well, I'm number one.
Later on, Dennis Miller.
See you later, Cat Williams. And
Kevin Hart,
please,
who are you?
Please buy it on iTunes. Please. Yeah. And also...
Oh, I was actually going to say that in concert with your album coming out, we are both going on the road to support your album. On the 10th of this month, we're going to be at Union Hall in New York. There's two shows.
Woot, woot.
Still tickets for the late show?
No, the early show.
The early
Only
show.
Only tickets for the early show at Union Hall.
We have sold out the late show. So
That's
please
right.
come to the early show at Union Hall in New York. That's in Brooklyn, yes?
That's right. It's
fancy
a cool spot,
Brooklyn.
Union Hall in Brooklyn.
All the coolest babies live there.
And then we'll also be in your hometown.
We're going to be in Akron on the 12th of October at the Musica, which is real close to Crave, all you Akron listeners out there. Pop on over to Luigi's at about, well, get in line at 6 so you can eat at 7, and then you can get on over to Musica at 8, buy tickets. Let's sell that one out, too.
Yes.
In the AK Rowdy.
And then we're ending at my hometown, which is Chicago. On October 13th, we'll be at Lincoln Hall, and we sold out the first show, which is at 7,
Woo!
So there's a second show added at 9:30.
Second show added at 9:30.
And Lincoln Hall is one of my favorite venues. It's so cool. It's
Take
cool,
the cool L record. To Lincoln Hall.
Yeah.
We'll Have see some deep dish pizza, and then stand in front of the Biograph, and then come on over to Lincoln Hall and listen to us talk about jokes. I used to live there, too.
Yay.
That's everything I can think of right now.
Well, I think you named a lot of things
I
about
did.
Chicago.
Lots of things. Go Cubs. So, to my left, my other co-host for this evening, the Afro spokesperson himself, Mr. Ricky Carmona. What it do?
What is poppin', people? What it do? I'm on my I need to pay my light bill tour, so holla at me.
I mean, we need to pay our light bill,
We need
too.
To pay our light bills,
Everybody
girl.
Here needs to pay the light bills. And I feel like, Ricky, if you just harnessed...
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered putting, like, some sort of... electricity generating treadmill in your house? Because I love seeing those updates about you running like 15 miles a day.
I need to get
if you
out
just
a week.
Could kind of capture that.
You know, that's,
if you could harness this lightning.
That's good. Like Tesla?
Yes.
Yes.
Put the lightning
Tesla
in a bottle.
Yeah. I'll think about this. I'll ponder
Young
on
Einstein.
This. I do love running in the streets so much though. That gives me energy.
Running it through the streets.
Running it through the streets.
Running it.
I was gonna do a real girls just wanna have fun version.
Oh, okay.
Running in the
Oh yeah.
There's words in that song, but it's tough to know.
It's a real weird song.
That's a Cyndi Lauper song?
She's singing a song from the film.
The
girls
film
just wanna
Girls
have
Just
Fun.
Wanna Have
oh,
Fun. There's
okay.
a finale and it's mm. just it's a song that plays for a long time and it really only has 8 words.
Mm. Yeah. It's just a chorus over
yeah,
and over
it is.
Again.
There's no
I'm most impressed that you pronounced it finale.
That's what I was gonna say.
And that's finale.
Always gives me a hard time
finale.
When I say finale. Wait, she's like, where are you from? I'm like,
where'd that
I don't
go?
Know, America?
You Wait, did how did I say it?
Finale.
Finale.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, well, I agree with myself. That sounds great.
It's
finale? It's,
well, yeah, I mean, please. What do you think
I'm
from
it.
The Midwest?
You just said Chicago.
No, during the finale.
Mm. Oh, my God.
I went to the cinema and I saw a movie.
Was it
a film.
Was it in the plaza?
Yes, it was
did
in
you
the
enjoy
plaza.
The mise-en-scene?
Deus ex machina?
Not nailing it with that pronunciation.
All right.
But is that an actual like machinist?
Yes, that's a machinist speaking about whatever that means.
Nailing it.
We're nailing it. We'll be right back with some movie news, reviews, and things you can use. All right, we're back. We're going to have some movie news in a second. I forgot to mention to you guys what movie we are going to be reviewing. Spoilerifically, at the end of the show, we're going to review The Machine, which is on Netflix Instant, and we are going to just openly talk about it. So watch it. I think you should watch it. You're going to dig it. Spoiler alert on my review. Tipping my hand a little bit. Showing my vest, if you will.
Showing your vest?
Your vest?
Showing
I don't know what that,
my
I don't know
vest.
What that means.
It's a new.
It's like a Vegas term where it's like you're wearing a 3-piece suit, but you might keep your money in your vest. Mm. So it's like you don't want to show your vest because then it's like, oh, she knows the money's going to come out. So she's going to open her vest a little, let the money out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I
that's exactly
that.
What I meant.
That's,
so we're
I made
be
those connections.
Yeah.
Easy,
Ricky
quickly.
Knew. He didn't even
quickly.
Say anything.
No,
that's
I was
why
like,
he knew
why
exactly
are we
what I meant.
Talking
I didn't mean
about
to
this.
Explain it.
Why are we
Sorry.
Painting
I don't
want to
show my vest.
No.
Don't show your vest.
No.
Anyways,
if you're
show your vest.
If you're not supposed to show your vest,
you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
You're in big
Mine's
trouble.
Mine's been on television.
Yep.
I pack it everywhere I go.
You just
spend at weddings and funerals.
You put it on the front of the door when you're at home.
Yeah, exactly.
People to know that you're home. It's just you're showing your vest all over town. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
You're the vest of the vest, if I may say so.
You're the vest.
Thank you.
I'm invested.
All right, guys. First up, let's just talk about, I have some slightly older news things, so I'm going to talk first about the big news today that Twin Peaks is coming back.
Both of the peaks.
Both peaks.
Of them. They've got both of them.
They've got both peaks. Both
I wonder
peaks
when
are on
we're
going
to get a peak.
So what do you guys think? Is everybody a tweaks?
I'm tweaking right
now.
Are you guys tweaking right
what?
Now?
I don't care about David Lynch. I know you really care
this
about
lady.
David Lynch. I don't understand what I've seen of his stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that's just me being honest about the level of brain power I'm working with.
No.
I know that it's probably supposed to be good. There's a little guppy that comes out
it's wrapped
in a blanket, and then that's got an eraser.
It's just a carton of nerds up there that you're working with.
I don't
isn't
get it. Yeah. You shake it.
Little, it's one of the tiny Halloween packs, too.
I mean, he's got great hair. I understand why he's your hair icon, but that's really as far as I go with him. And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can just not get
it's totally
people
fine.
Sometimes.
You
yeah.
can have
if
a shitty
any...
opinion if you want.
Sure. I'm not saying it's the right opinion. I'm just saying I don't get him. I'm being very vulnerable
to
say, like, he's this high society art dude, and I don't get it.
Can I ask you one quick question, though?
How many of his stuff is...
Which things have you seen? I'm just curious. I'm not going to... I promise I will not slam
I've
you in the
I've seen his
dirt.
Haircut.
Okay.
I've seen the movie Eraserhead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've
All the seen... way through?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
I've seen his book that is on our shelf.
Okay.
Called About Fish or something. And I've
Catching
seen,
the Big Fish.
What other movies does he make?
Oh, boy.
The Elephant Man?
The Elephant Man. Lost Highway.
Lost Highway.
No. Mulholland Drive.
Inland Empire.
Nope.
Inland Empire.
One time
Blue
I
Velvet.
Drove onto
Velvet.
Mulholland Drive. Wild at Heart. Very high.
Wild at Heart.
No. So you haven't seen any David Lynch and you don't like David Lynch is what you're telling me. Well, you've seen a little bit of Eraserhead.
I suppose now that I think about it, the reason I don't get him might be that I have zero amounts of familiarity
Dude.
With...
You literally haven't gotten him because
yeah,
you don't have
yeah, you
any.
Don't, you literally
Did
don't.
Did I say something different than that?
Well, it sounded
yeah,
like you had seen a lot of his movies.
Consumed him, so I don't
all of the
get
stuff
him.
That I've seen, I don't like.
I don't.
So.
I don't understand. I don't get him.
All right. Well, perhaps.
Ricky, what do you think? Are you a big fan?
I am. I enjoy David Lynch. I do not try and like when I watch it. The last thing I'm thinking about is like the story and like putting it together. Like I just don't think he makes movies like that. I always think they're really pretty to look at. When's the last time you saw Twin Peaks?
Well, here's the big thing that I have to divulge today.
Okay.
Is that I was a latecomer to Twin Peaks just because of my age. Because
right.
I remember it being on. I remember seeing it when I was
You're
a kid.
You're too old?
What? Yeah, I was 30 when it came on.
I was 82. I was already.
I was 8
I
years old,
see.
And I remember it. This is the sad thing. I used to get it confused with Northern Exposure.
Whoa.
Because I was 8. Give
Actually,
me a break.
Me too.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, trees. There's a lot of trees.
And
there's
that
one Native American character.
Right. Yes. So, That's anyway, right. And I got into David Lynch and I got into all of his movies. I was super into them. And then. Netflix wasn't a thing yet when I was getting really into his movies, at least not, you know, as available as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I was getting ready to watch Twin Peaks, my friend was like, I'm watching Firewalk with me. And in this situation, I was like, sure, I'll come over and watch it.
No.
So I saw that, and now I've just been like, well, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen Twin Peaks. I haven't seen Twin Peaks. Now I'm going to have to watch it because I can't, you know.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's
absolutely I've... for just the, it's been long enough that I can just, like, separate knowing.
Yeah.
From the experience of watching it.
For sure.
Knowing what?
No, don't answer that.
I'm not going to answer that.
So anyway, what happened to Laura Palmer?
Well, she don't make it.
She didn't make
she
it.
Don't, she don't
she
make it.
She was in the plastic.
She's in the plastic.
I remember that from when I saw it.
So are you excited, Ricky?
I never saw it.
I mean, I feel like we've said this a lot. I'm not crazy about, hey, remember that you like this? It's
Wait,
back
what
again.
Is it going to be on Showtime?
It's going to be on Showtime.
So
it's
that's
gonna be
very
nine episodes.
Interesting.
Here's what I like about it, which is why I was asking when's the last time you've seen it. Twin Peaks was back when TV seasons were 20-something episodes a season. So there is a lot of filler in there.
It's 30
where it's
episodes.
Like,
what was it originally on? Like,
on
where
ABC?
Did it was just on
it was
ABC.
Just on ABC. On Saturday nights.
Yeah. It was just on the television network.
Yeah.
ABC.
American Broadcasting Company.
Now, a little interesting tidbit, which will probably not mean much to you, Cameron, but the movie Mulholland Drive was supposed to be a pilot for ABC, and they were like, what the fuck is this? They were like,
that was a note that went around.
This has to be 90 minutes. And he was like, I'm not making this 90 minutes. That movie was like, the original cut was 4 hours long. And
okay.
I think he cut it down to like 2.5?
I think so.
3? It might even be 3.
Is this his only television show? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry
no, don't
that
be
this
sorry,
is
girl.
The level
totally
of
fine. It's his
Come
own
on
understanding.
Now.
And it was on,
Come on
ABC.
It was on ABC.
So that's
network
interesting
TV.
To me that it's Showtime because it kind of shows the like continued evolution of cable being willing to take a risk. I almost feel like that's like upping their game to match Netflix because Netflix is doing so many risky things and it's oh, we're bringing properties back and we're doing stuff that's completely bizarre and making a whole animated series that's about like an adult man horse that talks just because they
We're in the
can.
Middle of the transition where network TV is now becoming down here and everybody wants to go on cable because there's just more freedom you can do on cable.
Because they couldn't run Twin Peaks now because they have to have more time for Dancing with the Stars and Dancing with the Stars recaps.
Exactly.
Right.
But like, they'll do a Twin Peaks dance on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Like a log and whoever.
Have they done that
Kelly
really?
Clarkson.
Have they really done that?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Send them a letter.
But I think...
Mark my words.
I think the other...
Mark Frost her words.
The other thing I also mean is just that you can really be risky. And actually, I think a lot of cable networks choose to be risky because conversation...
And especially premium channels.
Yes. Conversation is now as valuable in the cable space as ratings are because cable shows don't necessarily get big ratings, so you really want to kind of create a darling
Yeah.
You know, because like in the world of television, nobody watches girls. Like in the world of numbers, like girls
and Mad Men.
Nobody watches girls.
Nobody watches Mad Men.
Breaking Bad.
Nobody watches Breaking Bad, like as in terms of by the numbers. But that's, they're on the cover of every magazine. They win every Emmy, you know, all that stuff. So I think it's also, we're in that interesting time where, because I feel like when this was on, it was a hit, right? Like Twin Peaks was like a hit. People watched it.
It was a hit for the first season. It was a hit.
Okay.
And then the network was like, you need to solve the mystery.
Okay.
And then they solved the mystery in season two, and then it fell. And then David Lynch and Mark Frost parted ways.
Okay.
And then it fell apart. And then David Lynch came back at the end, and everybody was like, oh, this show is great.
Yeah.
And then it was too late by that point.
It also feels a little bit like Showtime's bid to compete with HBO.
Yeah.
And HBO goes streaming. So I'm sure that this is like, oh, this is going to be our True Detective. Like, I know it's two years from now, but I also think, you know, they're it's a long game for them of, like, finding a hit that's going to do as well as True Detective.
Each show is, like, pulling out, like, their tent pole now.
Yeah.
And I think the show today was Showtime saying, hey, we've got this now.
Finally something good on Showtime.
I think you're right. Well,
so.
The other thing is that a lot of Showtime shows have kind of devolved into, it's like a lot of relationship stuff and like smaller shows. I'm thinking of like Looking as an example. That's that's Showtime, right?
No, Looking is on HBO.
It's HBO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, never mind. I can't even think of what's on Showtime right now.
That new show, The Affair, with I think is on
Showtime. Oh, right, right.
Oh, that's right. That's going to be on Showtime.
I guess
that's right.
Just to speak to your point, Rita,
it is quiet,
is like the
dramas.
Majesty of what's going on in HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Game of Thrones is like a full movie every week.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to compete with, which makes sense why.
And people so is True Detective. Really.
People are so surprised that Cinemax came out of nowhere with that Steven Soderbergh show with the Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a huge, like, hey, we're not fucking around either. We've got a winner with us. And yeah, people love that show now.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
So speaking of coming out of nowhere, I read the other day that an Indiana Jones 5 is like being sort of pinballed around, and Bradley Cooper is the new Indiana in this scenario, because I didn't write his name down, but the cinematographer, Steven Spielberg's cinematographer, was saying somewhat...
Janusz Kaminski.
Thank you. Some somewhat definite language about, oh yeah, for the Indiana Jones 5, as though it's already in the works. But I guess Harrison Ford is still interested in being Indiana Jones.
No, he's not. Stop that guy.
Why?
He should be Indiana. There should be
you guys,
no other Indiana Jones.
He's like a bad penny. He always turns up.
he should always be Indiana Jones. Always.
No, he shouldn't.
Yes, he
absolutely
should.
Absolutely.
You cannot.
Nobody else should be Indiana Jones.
Okay, all right. Let's say imagined Hollywood. Sure. Current Hollywood, which is rebooting things that just came out like a year ago and then rebooting them, like, it's insane that we haven't had a next Indiana Jones.
Well, here's the, this is the,
I mean, how many Superman and Batman are we having right now?
Hang on a minute. Let me say something about this idea and this property, which is the only thing that was positive about Crystal Skull was a torch being passed to a new Indiana Jones. Now, am I defending that it would have been Shia LaBeouf? Not one bit. But the fact that they were like, we know as a property that if Harrison Ford is not going to be Indiana Jones, you guys are not going to be on board, so we're going to have his son do it, and it's going to be more fun. That, hey, I would
prefer
that.
But that's just not what happens anymore. Everything is rebooted.
Which is why they should do it. Which is why if they make a fifth one,
I'm just saying it's unrealistic.
His name should not be Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
It's the same thing with the
Illinois
Star Wars
Jones.
Movies. You don't want to see a new Luke Skywalker.
Wisconsin
you want to
Jones.
See Mark Hamill come back as Luke Skywalker. You want to see Prince. You want to see Carrie Fisher come back as Princess Leia. I don't want to see new people playing them. I mean, I also.
I mean, I want to see nude people playing them.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
But for some reason, Star Wars, because it's like a. Okay, so Star Wars is like a linear story in a way that Indiana Jones is not. I'm not saying that they don't build on each other, but they're individual. It's serialized
adventures.
The second
one takes place before the first one,
And it's also like you could have them as, you know, they're like Hardy Boy books where it's like, what's going to happen? You know, so I think one of the reasons they can't recast those roles in Star Wars is because they can just continue the universe versus something like Indiana Jones. I think I'm so sorry to tell you this, but I think the recasting and reboot on that is inevitable. Like, inevitable.
Oh,
and if they could get Bradley Cooper, that's the guy to do it.
No.
He's perfect.
Ah.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? He's
not
so, like, he's got that shit-eating grin that Harrison Ford has?
He doesn't.
He's like
he
suave.
Can't walk like he does.
What do you mean?
Well, the thing is, you don't understand Indiana Jones, so you're never going to understand.
We need a man who carries a big whip. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Dang. And has like a hip that's out of place all the time.
Yeah.
It's got a weird... One leg is shorter than
the other. Who would you suggest?
I don't have any suggestions. My only suggestion is if you're going to make a fifth one, you have to figure out a way to make it not Harrison Ford and make a different Indiana Jones, which is totally fine.
So like, at
like
the end of
kid.
The Crystal Skull, his hat like blows down the...
Aisle.
Down the aisle.
And marries Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, he blows down the aisle and then Shia LaBeouf gets
that movie's been out for like 8 years. It's totally
so
fine.
So will you be happy if like let's say the next movie
if they
just
make
continues that
hat
they just
human marriage legal? Yes.
Well, let's just say the hat just keeps blowing. It's just like
the
a little
answer,
it's
my
a real...
friend, is this hat blowing in the wind?
Exactly. It's just like a real tumble hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just ever... And then Bradley Cooper's laying there on the ground. You know why.
And then it skips right over him, and it goes to a raccoon. I'd much rather see a raccoon play Indiana Jones than Bradley Cooper.
I think he's perfect for it.
Or you know who else I think is perfect for it? Jennifer Lawrence.
I went to see a female Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I live in the world.
Yeah. You live in this American world. Well, I feel like we've really buttoned that one
that
right up
great.
And figured out the answers to that one. So, okay, I think the last thing that we'll talk about is, have you guys both seen the trailer to Automata?
No.
There's an accent mark
is it
in there.
Automata?
Automata?
No. I don't know. I literally
Automata.
Have no idea.
Automata!
All right,
I'm going
to you've
it like
seen
that.
It, Cameron?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
but
my God.
I know why you're talking about it, but I didn't see it.
Okay.
I saw somebody tweet at you about it.
A lot of people
like,
tweeted at me. You guys didn't see the
talk
trailer?
Talk me up. Tell me about
sell
it.
Sell it.
Bring me in.
Sell it to me.
Let me live in your world.
One paragraph about it. Well,
Dinglehopper.
Dinglehopper?
I want to be a part of your world.
What does that mean? Is that a Little Mermaid reference?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Look at this stuff.
Do you know that my dad calls me Dinglehopper all the time? I had like a flashback just now.
What? Your
PTSD.
Dad calls you Dinglehopper?
All the time.
Are you a fork?
Am I a fork? No.
Well.
I am a Dinglehopper.
That's what
also a Clodhopper. Quite often he calls me a Clodhopper and Elvis.
That's funny because your dad... doesn't realize how many times he saw The Little Mermaid. Because he's kind of a tough guy.
Which is zero.
But no, that's what that word is from.
No, he's never seen it.
That's so what
it
that just, word is from.
Well, I can guarantee you he's never seen it. Because I never watched it with him. This is getting really personal.
Okay, this is great.
Let's reel it back in a little bit. I did play The Little Mermaid Tiger Hand.
Checked out once The Little Mermaid was said, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Oh, Ricky. When are we gonna get you to understand The Little Merm?
I am not a fan of a lot of those Disney movies.
What?
I know.
Have you seen The Little Mermaid at all?
No.
Not too long ago, I was realizing there's this big song in there where she like collects all these beautiful treasures that are in the ocean. And then she sings about it. That's what she's like. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? I can sing the whole thing. My point is, she's pointing at all these little things. And like a week ago, I realized like, oh, she's surrounded by like ocean detritus.
Trash.
She's surrounded by trash.
Trash.
Like trash that people have thrown in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
the most optimistic view of littering.
Yeah.
She's like super stoked. This idea that fish are like, this stuff is amazing! And, not
well, you
just,
know,
and not just choking to death
yeah, right,
over soda.
Like this, yeah, right, the, that's yeah. what I was thinking of. The soda, what are those things called?
What are those things? The soda rings?
The six pack?
Fish murderers?
Yeah, fish murderers.
Fish death? Well, you know there's a sequel in the works to The Little Mermaid.
What?
It's Little Mermaid 2, Island of Trash.
Oh my god. Well, you know what? I don't believe anybody but Ariel should ever play The Little Mermaid. It might not recast her.
Oh my god, you guys are killing me. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you what this movie is. Well, yeah. It looks really good to me, and it's a perfect trailer for everybody to watch after they watch The Machine, because it's a very similar sort of thing. It's a sci-fi film noir that explores the potential dangers and complexities when mind and machine merge. And it looks like a pretty interesting updated take on Blade Runner, because Antonio Banderas, whom you might know as the Nason XB, plays a similar...
I know him from Melanie Griffith.
Right, yes. I think Melanie Griffith is actually in it.
Wait, what? Who? Do you know who made this movie?
No, I'm sorry. My notes are crappy.
It's okay.
My notes are very crappy, which is also a fish. Anyway, but he... It has a bit of like a District 9 sort of a.
I was wondering if it was him.
No, it's not.
It's not
it's
him.
Not him.
Are we sure Automata is not the sequel to Gymkata? Thank you very much.
Great job. Ricky Carmona, everybody.
Are you sure it's not the sequel to Ricotta? Ricotta cheese?
That's disgusting. That's...
What? You know what? When cheese and minds merge?
A sequel to cheese? That's gross. Reboot this cheese, please. You gave me Swiss.
So anyway. It looks cool? You're interested?
Yeah, it looks good. You guys should check out the trailer. You guys should check it out. Then we'll talk about it the next time.
Okay.
But no, it looks good. It looks like an interesting... What is it? Elysium. It looks a little bit like a dash of Elysium, a ton of Blade Runner. He even has a long coat on. But, you know, it's a... They live with machines. The machines go loose. He tries to find them. And then he finds a crazy one. You know, that's basically
right.
It looks cool.
Sounds interesting.
I'm really excited about the reinvigoration of these kinds of plot lines. Because, you know, they with Terminator and even things like AI, you know, we really were exploring the thought of living with machines. And then I think it kind of went away for a while, like, in that post-9/11, like... patriotism and
fear
and
terror.
And, well, terror, I mean, The Dark Knight, those kinds of movies, but then also Iron Man, those kinds of, you know, heroes and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that. I just think this is the thing of our time, right? Like the Industrial Revolution was the thing that changed. Our thing is the technological revolution. Like our thing is that we live with robots. They're in our pockets. They become part of our bodies.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, some people already have, you know, robotic arms, and that's just going to continue. That's just more. So
when
I think this is a great thing.
When we talked about Terminator 2, didn't you mention that, like, the difference is, like, movies like that, like Terminator, they were like these, they looked like us, the robots. We're like, nowadays, like, our robots are these things right here, and they fit in our, you know, and they fit in our pocket.
What's interesting
and they
to
interact
me,
with us, they have hopes and dreams and stuff.
Right.
Like,
is that
mine tells me that.
We still, it's kind of like watching, you know, movies from like the 80s or the 90s where they're trying to show you virtual reality, which is really what our phones are now, but that we have to keep, that was the one interesting thing about her to me, looking back on it and having seen a couple, having seen the machine and seeing this trailer and stuff. That's what's, they're like starting to merge more. This idea of it's not just like iRobot is very simple. You know, it's like a robot. It's on the loose. That's it. Like that's
right.
It just is on Fritz or whatever. But and this sort of comes up in other movies. But that merging of consciousness and that there are phases to existence. You know, the human beings are maybe in the middle of something. I don't know. In Transcendence, like all those movies.
The singularity.
Well, actually, I mean, I think. Now, I don't want to spoil too much about Transcendence, but that's a terrible movie, so I don't feel too bad doing it. But I will say that, and you can kind of tell from the trailer for that movie, that what's going on is that, like, Johnny Depp is not doing so well, so he transfers his consciousness into a machine, and then what that machine tries to do is to replicate human bodies, basically. It tries to put itself back into humanity. And what was so interesting about her was that it wasn't bound...
Right.
By those terms. And I think that's kind of what
there's
you're saying,
no physical
Rhea, is that, of course...
Replication of it is
I think
what was great about her.
Yeah. And although I found, like, some of the...
Mostly hated it, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Although I felt some of the male-female dynamics were a little off, the idea that it allowed that there could be something besides a body is what you're
yes.
saying. Like, that difference between, like, we're going to wear virtual reality helmets versus, like, now we just look at our phones and we think we're seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a type of virtual reality. It just looks really different than we thought it would be.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, robots that we talk to in Bluetooth that are connected to our calendars is very realistic eventuality, a lot more realistic than a robot being like, I feel like I want to be a human and have a body. Like, fuck that. These bodies are stupid.
Yeah.
Just walk around in an ear.
A machine would be really dumb to have a body.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with all these cherry 2000s I got in my apartment, though, guys? I got all these things.
Ricky Carmona just putting a beautiful little button on that. We'll be back with a special Movies That Made Us from yours truly after this.
Mark your calendars for a brand new thing. The first ever Max Fun Week is coming up, October 15th through 21st. Max Fun Week's all about celebrating the creativity and passion of our listeners. We'll have podcast crossovers, Q&As, behind-the-scenes tours, giveaways, and more. No fundraising, just awesome stuff for you. So tune in to your favorite Max Fun shows, tell a friend about Max Fun, and check out some new shows during Max Fun Week, October 15th through 21st.
All right, we're back, and I'm going to do a real quick, real fun, real appropriate movies that made us for you guys. And this, I feel like this movie is going to divide me away from the two of you.
I know it is.
Definitely, Ricky. So I picked the 1982 epic futuristic noir film, Blade Runner, by Mr. Ridley Scott. It is a movie that I saw.
I like it.
You do?
No.
I thought you didn't like it.
No.
Which cut did you see? There's like 18 cuts.
Yeah, the one.
Sure. All right. That one.
The one that the first cut?
The first cut.
Because it was the deepest.
It was the deepest. Yes.
Hers ends with his hat going down the aisle.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It blows down the aisle. And
the hat is Daryl Hannah.
Oh, my God. So I saw it like way too young on network TV. I definitely saw it alone when I was probably 6 or 7 or something. And it really scared the crap out of me. But it also had this. Like, just a super profound effect on me of how movies could look, because I'd never seen anything that looked like that before I saw this movie. And it just, it was like one of the first times I ever saw art or, like, choice, really specific choices in a movie that I'm sure, you know, I wasn't, like, jotting down notes when I was 7 going, like, wow, this is a really interesting take on the future. You know, because, like, up until then, my favorite movie was Back to the Future, and then it was after I'd seen that, but still, I hadn't seen a movie that was like dark and gritty and weird and uncomfortable and like trying to be a different time. Like seeing that, you know, that iconic scene of like the woman in makeup with the Coke can and everything, I was like, oh my God, this is insane. This is like an insane thing. And I also, one of my other specific memories besides the origami is when Roy Batty is like talking to his father. That was like such. God, that is such like a weird and gross scene, and I love when it sort of comes up in the movie that we're going to talk about soon. But Ricky, you don't like this movie at all.
I do not. This is a movie that I keep telling myself, Ricky, you just haven't figured it out yet. And then the last time I saw it at the Music Box in Chicago, mm-hmm. I fell asleep, and I was like, this just isn't.
Man, you just don't
like it.
This
is not
for us.
And yeah. I think it's a film noir thing as well.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I just watched Chinatown again recently. That's another one. I'm like, Ricky, why aren't we getting this movie? And I watched it, and I was like, I just don't like. I think it's specifically like a film noir thing that it just, it might be a little too stylized.
Sure.
What do you think about, like, the sets in that case? Like, is
beautiful.
It the, you like the way it
oh,
looks
absolutely,
visually?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah. And Blade
it's
Runner.
It's just too slow or something?
Like the character design?
Yeah,
cool every,
yeah.
To you.
I just always check out on the story.
Sure,
you know, like it mm-hmm. feel it felt it that movie feels like it's 4 hours long.
Sure,
to me,
yeah, yeah.
You know, especially
yeah.
like watching
there's
the different cuts.
There's a lot of weird, like, this could be over. Whoop,
yeah.
More tumbling.
there's a lot of
continuing things going on.
And there's really great like moments in it. Like I don't remember the characters, but there the scene where one guy is talking to like the head of a company. And then you realize, like, he's basically like, don't they all, like, take a test that makes
yes.
them realize?
Yep.
Like, the first time the one guy, man, he's, like, a really famous character actor if you saw him. But, like, there's just something going on, and he realizes, like, oh, shit, you're an android. And then I think he, like, jumps over at the table or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a great moment. And, the, you know, the scene where, yeah, like, you see pretty much, like, the city landscape. Edward James Olmos is great in it.
Fantastic.
Again, Daryl Hannah.
Yeah.
What about Sean Young?
Sean Young is great in it.
I feel like we're underselling Sean Young.
Absolutely. And I remember being really young and that's when she's
really
getting
Sean Young. Thank
yeah,
you, good
really
night.
Sean Young. That scene when she's getting interviewed and being like, this is making me feel things.
She's
yeah.
really hot. Also, what
she's
happened?
She's super hot in that
like,
movie.
It was that
yeah.
Ace Ventura done.
She.
See ya.
Yeah, she didn't do a lot.
She went a little.
When's the last time you saw it? Do you think you've seen it again
it's
recently?
It's been a while. It's been probably like 5 years.
Maybe we should watch it.
I need to
soon.
Check back into it.
Not with Ricky. He's already given it his time.
I own the Blu-ray of it. I was gifted it. And
do you have the super duper
I don't have the
box?
Big box, but I have every.
I think that's really great.
I have every cut of it. One of my friends has the briefcase
yeah.
version of it, but it's that's DVD. I
yeah.
have the Blu-ray because I like fancy things?
Dope shit.
I'm just spitballing ideas, but you might want to write to them and just ask if they thought about calling that a blue rainer.
I will send that to them.
Just ask them.
Is that with a U or with an umlaut?
I was going to say, is there an umlaut in there? Can we get an umlaut up in there?
May.
Wow.
Let's come back with a review.
All right. Cameron Esposito, your host, everybody. We'll be right back with a review of The Machine coming right up.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier, host of Destination DIY. It's a show about people taking matters into their own hands, and we're really excited to be bringing it to Maximum Fun.
You know, having that experience of I can do that makes me feel like I can almost do anything.
Here at Destination DIY, we like to push the do-it-yourself envelope beyond crafts and home improvement. So tune in to hear the stories of makers, builders, inventors, and all kinds of creative people.
You can essentially build a do-it-yourself space program today, and now, luckily, I'm part of that.
Check out Destination DIY at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
All right, now is the time to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose The Machine, which I think is more of a chick flick.
What?
You know what I'm talking about. If you've seen it, and you should, it's on Netflix Instant. Super easy to watch. Spoilers are ahead. So, she's a small wonder, pretty and bright with soft curl. Anyway, I just wanted to sing a little bit of Small Wonder because this movie reminded me hella of Small
this
Wonder.
This movie reminded you of Small Wonder?
Yeah.
You haven't seen a lot of movies about female robots.
And there. Not a lot.
I like that you rolled out your like parchment before you started singing there. That was
great. There's only one copy of these lyrics. I had to request them from the Library of Congress. Okay, so anyway, a little bit about the movie The Machine. It's directed by Kara Dog W. James.
Kara Dog.
What the hell?
He's Welsh.
He's Welsh. Okay. I love those
Some
Welsh
stuff
dogs.
Happens up there. They have the longest words. It's very intense.
Thank you, Cameron.
A lot of CXYs.
He made this movie, Little White Lies, The Rainbow, Plastic Wolves, none of which I've seen or even heard of. And then the movie also stars Katie Lotz, Toby Stevens, and Dennis Lawson, who is a Jonathan Pryce lookalike. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking of the Infinity commercials the whole time I was watching this movie, and also the Mike Myers sketch where he is playing Jonathan Pryce in the Infinity commercials, but he's selling an awesome toilet.
I can't stop thinking about what if that wasn't a movie and he just made plastic wolves. Like for a hobby.
Cameron Esposito.
Kara Dog Wackadoo. What's his last name?
Kara Dog W. James. Wackadoo is his middle name.
I think Wackadoo is a solid name.
It's also written by Kara Dog Wackadoo James. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the plot is...
Oh, we just sound like Kara Dog.
Kara Dog.
Kara Dog.
Kara Doog. Okay, so the plot of this movie is two artificial intelligence engineers come together as they work to create the first ever self-aware artificial intelligence. A veteran AI engineer secretly hopes to develop technology to help his diseased daughter, even if it means funding comes from the powerful Ministry of Defense. His new partner, a young woman gifted in the field of AI, is brought on after her breakthroughs are recognized by the MOD. Things go wrong when the MOD takes over and advances the researcher's work to the next level, teaching the AI to kill and follow MOD instructions with its new and nearly indestructible body.
Wow. I feel like that was a really long...
Where did you get that
from?
That was all from IMDb.
Usually you got to edit it.
Two sentences.
God dang it, girl. I leave you in this hosting chair. I'll give an edited summary.
Take it away.
We need to get a camera in here.
A robot.
Can you hear me throwing my notes away?
A robot is a woman, and she has hard skin.
Mm-hmm.
The man, he makes her.
I love how you just get drunk when you're describing movies. He made it.
Where'd that martini glass come from?
The man makes her. She has to fight.
Great job.
Did it.
Well, since we gave away the entire plot to the movie with Cameron's beautiful monologue, why don't we just Why don't we just skip on to the best parts? Mm. So, Ricky, yes. How about you go first?
Whoa, I'd love
What's
to go
first. What's your best part, Ricky?
Well, let me look at my notes here. And,
sure, pull them on
I'm
up.
I'm sure I will. What did we really enjoy here? All right, I'm just going to knock these out.
Knock them out.
Evil Jonathan Pryce is awesome as yes. Evil Jonathan Pryce. I really like the score.
It was great.
Yeah, it was very.
Rio was like,
I was like, this is
yelling
a great score.
About it.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I was watching it thinking, this is like the first score that I've listened to since the Drive soundtrack that I was like, this is rad.
Ah.
This is so rad.
Yeah. Like, it just had a really good. The whole movie in general had like this kind of cool, like, I could feel like, I was like, okay, that's an homage to this.
Yep.
And the score was just made me think of other great sci-fi scores. I really like the scene where the machine gets cut open. I mean, where you like. Where she's built. It's very alien-esque. Mm-hmm. It's very gooey.
When he's taking stuff out of her?
No, when he like cuts like that film.
The,
yeah, and
oh,
all that. I mean, that, it was really like...
On her Baby Bell cheese wrapper? She comes in a Baby Bell wrapper.
Oh, that's gross.
No, it's funny.
It was, cheese reboot, please.
It's very disgusting. It was very disgusting. I like the clown. He don't make it.
I really oh, like, yeah, God. What
yeah,
was
that? That was fucked up.
It was like really, a Brazil type.
Wait,
yeah,
what's
thing.
A clown? I forgot this.
It was like some test they were doing on her, and she's just like in the chair that she chills
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
And then the dude
oh,
like
God,
pops up, and
right.
she's just like, wham!
Yeah.
You're like, whoa.
Yep.
I like that language that they spoke.
It's
that
Farsi.
That never gets explained.
It's Farsi. Did
Is
you
it?
Know that? Yeah.
I did not know that. No.
I love that about
computer
it.
Babble.
Well, I love that it's an actual language that then they garble it. So it's like based off of a real thing, but then garbled so that you can't really understand it.
I really enjoyed that. I don't know who the other actress is who played like evil machine girl, Suri.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting the way the movie was going. I was like, "This is gonna be great. These two are gonna fight each
yep.
other, and it's gonna be fucking
yep.
awesome." And then they don't. She kind of like joins her.
Yeah.
And then I wanted this. I was like, "Oh shit! I want to see them fighting side by side." And that was really dope. And that was it, sir.
All right.
Yeah. Good.
Look at you.
Solid.
In and out.
Yeah.
Cameron Esposito. What's your best part?
My best part is that this movie cost less than $2 million to make, and this is how you make a fucking movie. Like, I was so impressed with how they were able to stretch that budget. Obviously, they got great actors, and they had such a small cast, and they were able to just use them to their fullest extent. Especially the woman who stars in this mm-hmm. is in amazing physical shape and clearly does a lot of her own stunts, and she's like a dancer. That was her background. She was a tour dancer for, like Christina Aguilera or somebody like that, Lady Gaga, like those kinds of people. And then, so that's her doing those moves when she's like dancing around, and that's her bod. And I just think that so often we're trying to go for these massive, overblown, big budget star vehicles. And it's great to just see somebody who has a skill that they just use correctly. Like, these movies are not made very often.
How'd you hear about this movie? As I was watching, I was like, how have I never heard about this?
We covered the release of this on the show because it was getting amazing reviews. And so I just was aware of it
yeah.
because, like, on the sci-fi movie blogs that I read, it was it was popping up a lot. And I completely agree. This was just a great use of money.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
God,
a great
right?
Yeah.
Have you seen
yeah.
anything that looked this good
no.
ever? Because we're right at that time where if you have $2 million... you can pay for great effects.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that, too. Like, I love the little choices in this movie to fill in the gaps between the VFX. Like the set dressing of stuff is just futuristic enough that your brain goes, oh, this is fancy or this is fake or
yeah.
whatever. And you know, like, the whiskey or the bourbon that the evil guy has is in this fancy thing, which is really just like vintage probably,
yeah.
but futuristic looking because it's vintage. I don't know, just like everything, nothing in terms of the VFX to me or the set design or even the character design looked clunky, which
also
was refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a low budget movie.
Right. Just to speak to your point, like, they also did it in low light.
Yes.
Which is really different than doing it in full light and then griming it up.
Sure.
And I feel like a lot of movies lately have been doing that kind of, you know, again, Batman look of, you know, it's like super bright, but there's so much grime going on. And this just shows you that. I mean, that could have been like cardboard.
It takes place in the shadows
them.
A lot. A lot
but
of this is
because of the way that they use light.
it just was it yeah. was just really nice that they could use such limited sets.
And it also, they didn't just do that and then it wasn't obvious, like, oh, well, we don't have a lot of money, so we're making this dark. They also made the movie's tone dark.
Yeah,
to
the
match
score matched.
The score matched, the performances matched, like, everything matched everything. They made everything fit together. But my best part is actually Katie Lotz, because I was so shocked by her performance. That dancing is amazing. I love that they still, like, blacked her out, even though it was her. I thought that was super cool that she, like, lights up. It reminded me of, like, Battlestar or something, you know, just, like, emotions on the outside of a mm-hmm. machine. And I always really loved, and she had to be doing all of her own stunts, and she looked amazing. Her choices, because you get to see her as a person, and then you get to see her as a machine, and her physicality of that machine was so great. Like, when we first get introduced to her, she acts like a child because she's new, because she's, like, brand new to the world. But she's got so much going on behind the scenes that you don't realize. Like, I watched it again, and I could see, like, you know, when she does talk to Suri, she's not acting like a child. And so there's, like, all this hidden stuff that she's working with throughout the whole movie. And I also like, in the end, that she gets to win. And she doesn't just win. Like, she wins. Like, she really wins. Like,
she doesn't win the guy either.
No, that's what
she
I mean.
Wins
she
herself.
Wins over him. And she actually gets to, like, keep him and not and on her terms. And, like,
but she also doesn't really keep him. Like, it's just kind of like, eh. But not
no,
a bad
just,
way.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. And I love, like, the look on his face when his daughter in the iPad or whatever that he has, the iPad thin, is like, no, I want to play with mommy. And he's just, like, so defeated.
Right, because it's
like,
a
love
plot
that.
Point in the movie that his daughter is dying, and so he's trying to preserve her consciousness.
Right.
So he transfers her onto, like, a futuristic iPad, and then she chooses to communicate with this robot. Because
she's
a robot, too.
Yep.
And it's kind of, there's a theme there that you can replicate consciousness, but you're still then creating a separate entity. You're not, it's not just people being able to beamed up or into the cloud or whatever. And I thought that was a very appropriate and cool theme for right now.
And he was creating that new world that she was talking about, and he's part of the old world, so he doesn't really count anymore.
And I would, and the final thing I would just say about your point is that I feel like dancers are really underused in stunt work, having seen this. And, like, Summer Glau, you know, who was the Terminator and also is in Serenity. It's like her, she was a ballerina. And I think every time you want, like, that really hyper-controlled body movement, and it's just so rad that people have that background. So I just feel like, more dancers, please. Like, it's so much more interesting to me than these, like, hulked-out, kind of overgrown body types that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
Like, that very trim and fit but super controlled stuff is just, like, so, it's so rad. I mean, I'm trying to think of dudes that do it. Maybe Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. Is, like, in that range of being able to control his body like that.
I was trying to think of more women. I was thinking Michelle Yao, the two girls in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Absolutely.
Like, both of the scenes where they fight, it's, like, graceful.
Yes.
You know? There's movement to it. It's not just, like,
Kapow.
Fucking ass-whooping. It is ass-whooping, but it's like Bruce Lee.
There's that whole other thing that
fluidity.
We can do. So I think it's really neat to see that.
So, Cameron, what's your worst part of this movie?
Honestly, I can't think of a worst part. Like, for what it was, I don't think I would have changed a thing. I hated the, like, bad guy commander guy. He creeped me out, but that's what he was supposed
to
do.
Yeah.
It's perfect. I mean, I was, like, screaming at hating his character, but good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it was uncomfortable for me, but good acting, buddy. I thought it was great.
So you don't have a worst part?
I don't have a worst part.
All right, awesome. Ricky, what's your worst part?
I do have a worst part.
That's totally fine.
It felt like the movie is, like, so small, like, in scale. There was, like, a couple storylines where I was like, I don't care about this at all. With the woman, whoever this old woman is outside who's worrying about her kid, like, I think that's interesting, but I didn't care. Like, I was just like, just get back to, I don't care about where this hidden area is, this area 6, where, if your son is in there. It just seemed like the movie was trying to do too much with the little that it had. And I didn't think I was supposed to like the doctor, but I wasn't liking the main doctor. Like, just like some of, like, the character decisions that were made. Like, at one point he, like, snaps at Vicky, and I was like, why are you snapping at her right now? This just seems very forced.
Wait,
to, like,
Vicky?
Create. She was Vicky before she becomes the machine, yeah?
I don't know.
Is that her name?
Real name?
Because that's the name of Small Wonder.
I know. I just.
Oh, is that right?
Know.
Oh, shit.
I don't know if that's her name, but really? Yes. Anyway. That is the name of Small Wonder.
Yeah. That is the name of Small Wonder.
We know the name of Small Wonder,
yeah,
but not the character in the movie we're reviewing this week.
I'm pretty sure it's Vicky, but I could be wrong. But anyway, it just seemed like their relationship was headed like on this professional course, and then for whatever the mistake was that she makes, it was just like, oh, there's no reason for.
Can I ask you a question about that, though? Yeah. Because I didn't like him either. And at first I was like, that sucks that I don't like him. But yeah. Then I don't know if I care in the end because he's just an idiot. Like, he's making a dumb choice to try and fuck with this anyway. And he gets defeated. And I kind of liked that he wasn't some, like, perfect hero, because then when he's defeated, you're actually not really on his side.
Yeah,
you're kind of on her side.
I think that they all lose in this movie. Like, I don't think she wins. Like, she's not human, so she's lost that connection of being a person. This kid in the computer isn't her daughter, so she doesn't really have a relationship there other than this child that's trapped in this machine. Like, when the movie ended, I was like, man, this is fucked up.
But that is her kid, though. Because she's not that woman. She's
But she's still trying to be... I mean, I think one of the themes in all these movies is that robots are trying to find, like, humanity. Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's going on? And the fact that she's just, like, staring out into, you know, all this body of water, like... Mm-hmm. Shit, there's all this
but
out there that
that
I can't understand
wanted.
It.
I wonder,
you know,
though,
she was like,
if I
just
had a different reading
that.
On that. Because I guess I felt like she was trying to achieve consciousness and, like, self-actualization and not necessarily humanity. Like, I guess
I
didn't find her to be... I mean, she wanted to, like, please that dude because she... Like, the doctor that created her because she wanted to connect with anything in the world. And that's, like, it was, like, an imprinting sort of a thing. But I don't know if she wanted to be him.
Well,
like in the end of it, I don't know that she wanted to be human.
I don't know if that was what the
message was.
That line of this is the new world, to me, is the turning point of the movie that, like, the humans don't matter anymore and, like, humanity doesn't really matter anymore. Like, those machines are the new thing that's taking over.
I thought it was fucked up, but also interesting that it seemed like he was acting her, but... Because I'm sure how much the doctor knew about her relationship with the other robots, like the cyborgs.
Yeah.
But then you find out that he doesn't know anything and that they're communicating with each other.
Yes.
It made me like, oh, he's not protecting her. She's protecting him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then it's that thing of, like, the child becomes the parent.
Yeah.
And that happened in this movie. I'm not saying it's not depressing or interesting or scary because we're human beings, but I just think, like, it was cool to see that happen where there was such a reversal because she didn't. We see so many movies where the final thing is like, and then he wanted to be a person.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's what she wants. Like, I think she wants to just take care of this guy because she realizes she's more powerful than him.
Yeah.
All right.
She becomes the dad.
Exactly. She's the mom and the dad.
He's the dad and then she's the dad. That's how it goes.
Well, my worst part was that guy's performance, so we don't really need to. I just found it, like, kind of all over the place. Couldn't totally understand all motives in most of the scenes, so that's what I didn't like about it. But
sure.
Why don't we just rate this sucker?
Mm.
So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, get that spider mask out of here. How many get that spider masks out of here?
I will give it 3.5. Get that spider mask out of here.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Cameron, on a scale of 1 to 5, I just want to make you as empty as I am. Or as empty as you wanted me to be. How many, that whole thing?
5.
5? You give it 5?
I give 5, because good job. Yeah. I mean... Good job. It's not my favorite movie in the world. I literally don't even know if I'll ever see it again. But I thought, I couldn't believe what they were able to do.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Amazing achievement. I want to high five everyone. Where are you at, Co-Dog? What's his name?
Kara-Dog?
Where are you at, Corn Dog? You little Welshman.
I can't believe it took that long to make a corn dog joke.
You little buddy.
Honestly.
Come here, you little corn dog.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 5 corn dogs with mustard, I give this movie 5 corn dogs with mustard.
Yes.
Because I really liked it, and I watched it. I watched the end again with you because I had watched it all the way through, and I enjoyed it just as much again. So definitely, if you guys haven't watched it, spoiled the F out of it, just watch it anyway because it's super fun.
Yeah.
It's a super fun movie. And next week, we will be reviewing Killing Them Softly, which is available on Netflix. Watch instant. So watch that one, and we'll be talking it up and killing you softly.
Actually, it'll be Ricky. Well, and I just want to send a shout out to Ricky Carmona, who has done a couple of episodes without us while we've been traveling. So thank you, Ricky.
You're welcome.
For doing it.
It's been fun.
For all the sisters.
So what's up?
For that reason, hey, Ricky, what are you going to leave us with this week?
I would like to leave you with doing a show October 14th at the Meltdown for a dear Chicago friend, Steve O'Harvey. Steve O'Harvey and his daughter are very sick, and there is a fundraiser that's happening for them at the Meltdown Comics on Sunset on October 14th, and there's a lot of great people on it. Matt Bronger is going to be on it. Pete Holmes is going to be on it. Kumail is going to be on it. Emily Dorice has put it together, who did 50 Shades of Musical. Jocelyn Hughes is going to be on it. It's going to be a really great show, and all the proceeds are going to help Steve-O and his family, and we love him dearly. So we want to help them out. There's going to be an auction. You can go to harveyfriends.com, H-A-R-V-E-Y, friends.com, to sign up for the auction. One of the things that that you can win is a tour through Disney Animation Studios, and it's a private personal tour led by T.J. Miller, which is pretty goddamn sweet. I donated some tickets for Tosh. You can come to a taping on Tosh and kick it. There's going to be a hoverboard from Rick and Morty.
What?
A signed hoverboard from Rick and Morty. There's
get
a lot of fun
that,
stuff
people.
On there. Go to harveyfriends.com and do some good and help out some good people. Steve-O's one of the he's the first guy who booked me in Chicago when I started doing stand up. So he's the best.
Awesome.
Please support him in any way you can.
Awesome. Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
Cameron, what are you going to leave us with this week?
Yeah, I wish I could be here for that show. I mean, I know the man myself.
Yeah.
So
I was saying, why aren't you on that show?
Oh, because we're in Chicago, unfortunately.
Is that where you guys are?
They did
it.
Yeah,
Emily. God damn it, that's right.
Emily got in touch, but yeah, I couldn't do it. So anyway, what's up, Steve-O? And cheers to that dude. And I guess really just, dudes, anything. This is such a. What an arrogant fucking dick follow up to what you were just going to do. I was going to say. I'm really proud of this record that I made, and something you can really do, like there's very few things that you can really do to support the artists that you love. One of those things is to buy their work and share their work. And there's not that many opportunities to actually do that. Like, you guys don't necessarily buy TV spots or YouTube videos. You don't necessarily buy this show. Sometimes you donate to Maximum Fun, but sometimes you don't. So it's $10 and $9.99. on iTunes, and you should buy a physical copy if you want and take a picture of your little face next to it and send it to me, and I will retweet that gorgeous pic with your gorgeous little face. It would just mean a lot to me. I'm really invested in this recording. It was a huge moment in my life to be able to launch it. So Same-Sex Symbol is out now. Thank you very much.
Boom. I will also throw my hat in Cameron's album because I helped work on it. I got to open for her in Portland to record it, and that was super fun. And I also got to make the art for it and for the t-shirts and the buttons and all that stuff. So if you're buying that stuff, you're also making me feel good. So, you know, that's a cool thing. And then I also wanted to mention something I'm really excited about besides those tour dates, which I'm excited to see everybody on, is that I'm going to be putting out a 7-inch record on Jonah Ray's new comedy imprint called Literally Figurative, which is like a partnership with AST. And I'm going to be doing a split 7-inch with my pal Gabe Schrey, who is an Akron native as well, who makes really awesome music. So that's going to be super fun. So keep an ear to the ground for that. And then I also want to make just one quick recommendation. I watched this awesome documentary called I Know That Voice, which is about a ton of voice actors still working today. Also, the woman that did like Rocky, all voices from like Rocky and Bullwinkle, who's like 92 and is still doing it. Just super awesome to get to see how that stuff works, the world that it is. Just a really awesome view into that space. And I definitely think you guys would dig it. It's right up our alley. And it's on Netflix Watch Instant, so definitely check it out. Mark Hamill's on there talking about being the Joker. It's super great. So anyways, that's it for me. So until next week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And this has been Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, at Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.